listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode number 26, Monday Night Quarterback Edition, week number 4. I'm your host, Dan Claskins, back with you here again this Monday. Every Monday night of the season, at least the fantasy season, we're going to be here breaking it down, telling you about all the news you need to know from the Sunday before us, including a ton of injuries. And man, we got something to talk about today. We're also going to hand out some of our game balls from week 4's top performances, and as we always do, we'll take an early look at that waiver wire. As always, you can subscribe to the podcast and listen in on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. GetSportsInfo.com, the home of it and our blog. There you can find James Rapine's rankings, the studs, duds, and sleepers, the GSI cheat sheet, my office pool picks. You can always catch my highlights and my Fox 19 Friday morning fantasy videos and much, much more. All there on the blog at GetSportsInfo.com. Check out the fantasy tab for a lot of useful links there as well. And let's just jump right into it. Man, can you believe it? Week 4 is in the books. The first quarter of the fantasy season officially over. How you doing? Have you survived? Are you floating above water? If you're like me, you have a lot of different teams, a lot of different things going on. I have a few teams that are already quite the disaster. Couple of them rolling right along. The Dalvin Cook injury, which we'll get to in a minute, definitely hit me hard. As you know, if you listen to the podcast, one of my favorite running backs of value coming in and a guy I touted all summer in Cook. So a little disappointing there. But right now it's the time to assess things. Assess where you're at. See how things are shaking up. I mean, 16 weeks makes a fantasy season, and 4 weeks in the books, we can start to make some assumptions about things. Not to say things won't change. Fantasy is a very fluid game, so they change all the time. But still, I think it's time now where maybe you just loved or hated this guy, or maybe you were wrong on some things. Now's the time where I admit, hey, you know what? I was wrong on some things. In some cases, I admit that a little earlier than week 4, but needless to say, we'll be really taking a look at which players have impressed, the ones that haven't. We'll be handing out some report cards in our heads, at least, to the guys on our team. But now's the time to start shaking some things up, man. If you're sitting on all your fab dollars still, why? What are you waiting on? I'm not saying there's a guy this week to be there, but you shouldn't have $98 of your $100 fab budget left here, folks. If you do, you're not playing the right way. Also, trades. Now's the time to do them. Yeah, if you're 4-0, you're feeling pretty good, I bet, but doesn't mean you can't get better. If you're 2-2, you want to be in the start of the pack. If you're 1-3 or 0-4, the time may have already passed. So just know this, that time goes quick and you can't sit on your hands too long. And, oh, let's throw another wrinkle into that. How about that? Because you thought the injuries were bad enough? Wait till we get into these bye weeks, and guess what? You know what? They start this week in week 5, a long stretch of bye weeks, and I get questions all the time out there on Twitter from some of my email subscribers out there that's part of my fantasy email coach, which you can get involved with too if you go to the email advice tab there at Get Sports Info under the fantasy football. But bye weeks start right now. Technically, we already had one bye game because Miami and Tampa Bay up there in week 1, they were supposed to be week 11. But the real first scheduled buys this week, and they pretty much continue now through week 11. This week, it's Atlanta, Denver, New Orleans, and Washington on a bye. So as I come to you here on Monday, October 2nd, the Redskins are just now getting ready to kick off on some Monday Night Football action against the Chiefs. So, but they won't be playing in week 5, and neither will those other three teams. So it's time to know, take a good look at the byes. You have 4 teams in week 5, 4 teams in week 6, just 2 in week 7, so we get a little bit of a break there. But then 6 teams on a bye in week 8, 6 in week 9, and then 4 each in weeks 10 and 11 to wrap them up. And just be prepared. Now is the time where depth is a good thing. And I get guys, and I was starting to say this before, oh, they want to make these 2 and 3 for 1 trades because they're looking all good. Well, guess what? Injuries happen, and then these bye weeks happen, and you're going to be understanding that, you know, maybe you should have just stood pat with that pretty good team and kept that depth instead of making that run for your quote-unquote superstar. A lot of players going down, some coming back too, including Tampa Bay Bucks running back Doug Martin. He's due to be reinstated in week four here from his three-game suspension. Excuse me, in week five, this is what's coming up. He has served a three-game suspension, but because of the week one hurricane movement. But needless to say, the Patriots, the Bucks, Thursday Night Football this week. You've got Doug Martin. He even admitted pretty much to reporters today, basically not really sure what his role is going to be in his first game of the 2017 season. How many snaps is he going to play? How many times is he going to get to touch the rock? So it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of it will have to do with game flow, but here's a guy that certainly would be nice to have for a Dalvin Cook owner, or maybe you had Chris Carson, or maybe you just had Isaiah Crowell or hasn't done anything. You just need a spark in that backfield. Doug Martin could be that. I'm not really dialed in yet where I feel about him in week five. I don't think I'll be going heavy on him or anything, but this Patriots D, it's a mess. And I think long-term, Doug Martin's definitely a guy that in this Bucs offense, with that team, in this division he's playing in the NFC South, I really think that he, the rest of the way, could be strong RB2 material. So let's keep our eyes on how that goes. And let's keep our eyes on how things go with the Chicago Bears now that they have finally made the move. It didn't take them but a quarter of the season to figure out what the Texans did in about two quarters of football, and that was that the rookie quarterback that they invested a high draft pick in already gives them more potential than this veteran guy that they tried to get started. Mike Glennon, he's been benched. The Bears will turn to Mitch Trubisky in week five, and Trubisky showed some flashes in the preseason. Now, granted, it was preseason, and in some cases it was against third-teamers, but he's got to bring a breath of fresh air, but he's not going to bring any new wide receivers to the team, right? I don't know. I don't think it's going to have a big impact on the Bears around him. I think really the only couple Bears that I want any part of in season-long leagues are the two running backs, Jordan Howard and Tarik Cohen. This may move the needle a bit for me on them, but as of right now, not really changing the way I look at things. Am I picking up Trubisky? No way, not in redraft leagues, not yet. He has to play his way to that honor, and maybe he does. I'm not saying he won't, but I'm just not going to bank on it anytime soon. Let's get into the injuries to watch. I hit it on right at the top, and I'm sure everybody's heard by now, but the biggest injury of the week, of course, Dalvin Cook, the Vikings confirming on Monday that he indeed did tear his ACL. It's going to mean surgery for him and a season ender, which is unfortunate. This is a guy that I absolutely loved before even the draft happened. He went to the Vikings. I was a little down on it at first, especially after they signed Latavius Murray in free agency a month earlier. But as the summer wore on, I got more dialed into Dalvin Cook. And when he was going in the fourth and fifth round in those early June and July drafts, I was touting him as fantasy's best value. This skyrocketed ADP through the preseason, got him all the way there, the, you know, really back end of round two, early round three. I was willing to pay that price. I've got him in, as I said, five of my 13 season longs. I think he was well on pace to delivering on what my expectations were, but now we'll never know, at least not here in 2017. Latavius Murray, probably the top guy to get there. McKinnon also involved, but from a fantasy perspective, not really dialed into either of these running backs. Lat Murray behind that line, not exciting me. And I really, McKinnon is a guy that just can't really stay healthy. Already banged up in relief here. So I'm looking elsewhere to fill that plug at running back. Not to say that those guys won't have a spot on deeper leagues. I just think Murray in particular would be a little overpriced this week on the waiver wire. Elsewhere in Minnesota, we're playing our weekly game here with Sam Bradford and his knee. Looks like he's got a shot here for week five as we talk to you, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. Right now, you look at this offense that regardless who's at quarterback, it looks like they're going to have to focus more on the pass than what we've seen. But really, it's been Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen carrying the ship anyway. So right now, Sam Bradford would be a welcome addition. Sounds like he's going to get back sooner rather than later. Will it be week five? We'll have to wait and see. Marcus Mariota, he's going to be a game time decision. He left. Didn't really look great through the air, but did run for two touchdowns in the blowout loss at Houston. Also strained his hamstring in this contest. They consider him day-to-day right now. If he's out, there'll be Matt Cassel again, and oh man, that was ugly. So I have Mariota in about four or five spots right now. I think maybe four spots I've got Mariota in, and I'll be hard-pressed to start him in any this week. Better news on Julio Jones. He left early in week four, but is expected to be in good shape for week five as he deals with the hip flexor. Teammate Mohamed Sanu, we can't say the same for him. He's been diagnosed with a hamstring issue here, and by all accounts, it looks like that Sanu is probably going to miss maybe one, maybe two games. We'll have to see how things go with that, but all in all, we're rather optimistic that this is not a long-term issue. Chris Carson, he was placed on IR. The Seahawks' young running back that had taken things by storm during the preseason and taken over this backfield really through the first few weeks and carted off with what is believed to be a broken ankle. It's not good news for him. There is a chance he comes back in 2017, but even then, it's probably more during playoff time in the NFL, not fantasy season. And by the time he comes back, who knows what this backfield is going to look like. And Thomas Rawls is probably going to be the lead dog now. Eddie Lacy was active. CJ Prosite's working his way back from an ankle injury behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league. I'm just really not getting excited about any of this. I'm keeping my eyes on CJ Prosite, see if he can get going. If so, he's the only guy I think with upside here. I'd rather hit my head in the wall than pick up Eddie Lacy. And Thomas Rawls probably worth a waiver wire grab if he's available in your league for a stash and hope. Jordan Matthews, final injury, suffered a thumb injury, a second injury already in a short Bills career. He's going to require surgery. He's going to miss about a month. And another weapon lost here in this Buffalo offense. Buffalo's playing some good football right now, but it's mostly because of their stellar defense and what LeSean McCoy has been able to muster on the ground. Matthews, in a shallower 12-team league, I mean, he's definitely droppable. I think he's droppable even in some other leagues if there's better options available. Let's get out to some game balls. Recognize our top performers of the week and our worst and most disappointing performer of the week with our Game U Sock Award. Let's start with the good stuff and let's start at quarterback. Deshaun Watson, what can you say? I mean, after that great game in New England, he comes back here, four touchdowns through the air, one on the ground, completed 25 of 34 passes for 383 yards as Houston scored the most points in franchise history, nearly put a 60-burger up on the Titans. He was fantasy's top quarterback. Right behind him, Cam Newton, of course. First week I jumped off of him in DFS. And like every other quarterback that's faced the Patriots this year, he reached 300 yards through the air. He added three touchdowns, even ran eight times for 44 yards and a touchdown. Cam Newton, you get a game ball. And I'll give a third game ball out of quarterback. This one going out to my stud of the week last week, Russell Wilson. And dang, did he look good. 21 of 26, 295. Did get picked off twice. Threw two touchdowns. He also ran for a touchdown on four carries and 38 yards. At the running back position, the game balls are abundant as well. And we'll start with Le'Veon Bell finally delivering 144 and two on the ground against a tough Ravens D. Caught four balls for 42 as well. And he's getting a game ball. We're giving one to Bilal Powell. 21 carries, 163 yards on the ground. Five targets, turned that into four catches for another 27. Found the end zone as well, and really a good effort. I was a little hesitant to put him in. He was a guy I was on big time early in the season, draft season. Towards the end, I backed off, so ended up with probably about four shares of him. But his game yesterday, just the second time in the last 5 years that the Jets player has had 150-plus rushing yards, so something of note there indeed. And Todd Gurley, let's give him a game ball. 23 carries, 121 yards, caught seven of his eight targets for another 94 and a touch through the air, looking real good early on. Game balls at the wide receiver position. I'm only going to give out one here. We'll give it to Hopkins. Let's give his teammate Will Fuller one out too. The duo combines for 14 catches, 142 yards, and three touchdowns on the back end of that great day turned in there by none other than Deshaun Watson. And at tight end, it's Bengals tight end Tyler Kroft getting the game ball at the position this week. 6 catches, 68 yards on 7 targets, scored twice against the Browns. It's nice to see him do it, filling in for Tyler Eifert. It might be filling in for some while as Eifert's out indefinitely with this back issue. But I will say the Browns had a lot to do with this, so I'm not running out to the waiver wire to grab him or, you know, get crazy with it by any measure. But I definitely think that it was a good day and something I will keep my eyes on. Tight end has been a real odd position to this point of the season, so it's definitely nice to if a guy, you know, last week it was Mercedes Lewis that had the 3 touchdowns and everybody was talking about, and his other 3 games the dude's got 8 catches, 8 targets I should say. So not very good there. And let's give out our Game U Sock Award this week. A lot of different possibilities, but for me it has to be Joe Mixon getting my Game U Sock. I was really thinking that he'd do a lot, and I was right about one thing. He got the touches. I mean, 17 carries, 4 catches, but he only parlayed 4 targets, 4 catches, caught all 4 of them, 19 yards, just 29 yards on 17 carries, though. So that was pretty disappointing. I was well invested. I do think that the future's bright for Mr. Mixon. I was right about the opportunity, just wrong about the production. It will come in time, so stick with him. Maybe still a good time to buy. Let's finish up this week. We do every single week here on the podcast, taking your very first look at the waiver wire. And this one is a packed edition with all these injuries. Not only do you have owners needing those waiver wire picks this week, but a lot of options out there. Let's start at quarterback. We talked about Mitch Trubisky. I think he is a guy that probably one of the more sexy guys. If Watson is still out there, he's my first grab on the waiver wire. I grabbed him in a couple leagues last week off the waiver wire and did not start him. So it was a little frustrating, but I'm glad I got him. I think Jared Goff's my number 2 pick. If he's still out there, a guy I'm looking at. And Carson Palmer. Still out there in a lot of shallower leagues. Could be a great pickup this week. He'll face the Eagles. I think it's going to be a shootout in that game a little bit. So, I don't know. I think Palmer's up there. I'd rather have the upside of the younger guys, any of them, with the bye weeks coming up. Of course, you want to, you know, pay attention to the bye weeks, as I said, because Atlanta, Denver, New Orleans, and Washington are on a bye this week. So, on your waiver wire claims, if you're looking long-term, those teams won't be available to you. Let's go over to the running back position, and I think Latavius Murray is probably going to be the most popular pick, and you know, with Cook's injury and the ACL issue and what we're seeing there, rightfully so, but I don't know. I'm not really going heavy on him. I'll bid a few dollars, but chances are I'm not going to bid enough, and that's not a bad thing. I think Thomas Rawls, another guy. I'm not buying into these J.D. McKissick, by the way. I know he came in Procise, I'm keeping my eyes on him, but if he got dropped and you're in a deeper league, he might still be worth that upside grab. Andre Ellington, the second name on my list, and Alex Collins. Those are the two names I'm really looking at. Wendell Smallwood, if he's still out there, would probably leapfrog those guys, but I'm guessing he's already gone in most leagues. Ellington loved the 14 targets. Most targets any running back's had since Fred Taylor in 2014. Week 14 had that many, so he did turn them into 9 catches for 86 yards, and they're having problems moving the chain. So I look at, especially in PPR leagues, Ellington, not Johnson's the back to have there. Either way, these guys are bye week fillers at most, not a lot of upside. Alex Collins, I think he could run away with the job if he could hold on to the football. So Collins ran well, 82 yards, 9 carries. Did get benched with the football there, so we'll want to keep our eyes on that. Moving over to receiver, Will Fuller, the top grab, was probably already grabbed. So if he's out of your league, I think the next guy to look at there is probably Kendall Wright of the Bears. Not a great week at receiver, honestly. Danny Amendola, another player, if he was dropped, you know, he's starting to get back and healthy there for the Patriots. My favorite tight end pickup of the week is Cameron Brate. Loved him. I think both Bucs tight ends could have some value, but Brate's the one I want to target, and that's really all about it. So be sure to tune in again later in the week. We'll be back with our fantasy football happy hour on Fridays. We do a Monday night and Friday afternoon podcast all season long. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Be sure to follow me at Dan Klaskins. Catch me Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern and anytime on demand on the SiriusXM app as your host of Fantastic Insider Football. And be sure to check out my articles and rankings exclusively at Pro Football Focus. Until next time around, I'm Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening in once again to the Get Sports Info podcast.